I gotta say, this morning, Ethan was sitting on my lap, and he looked at me, and he said, Dad, are you gonna go up there and preach? And I said, yeah. He goes, preach the word. So I hope I did what he asked me to do. So that preaching the word's what we need to be about, that's for sure. I'd like for you to open up to the book of Colossians. Book of Colossians, we're going to do a study through this book on Sunday nights. It is a wonderful book, and it's interesting how this book came about, how this letter was written. This is one of the letters that Paul wrote when he was in prison, and it's a congregation that he writes to that it doesn't seem like he has a whole lot of connection to it. He might possibly know Philemon. He writes a letter to Philemon as well, but there aren't a whole lot of people there that he's actually had that contact with. Epaphras is one in verse 7 of chapter 1 that has come to him and shared with Paul things that have been going on in the church at Colossae. Colossae is also a town that's nearby a couple of others, Areopolis and also Laodicea. And Laodicea ought to ring some bells because it's one of the churches in the book of Revelation that was written to. So this is that area. They're very close to one another. I believe within about a 12-mile radius, give or take a little bit on that. Don't quote me. Around each other. So it's an interesting area that he's writing to. And these Christians are struggling. As far as what we know from the book, we don't know exactly what's happening, except that there's some false doctrine coming in. There's some people coming in teaching some things falsely. There might be some of those Jewish Christians, like in Acts chapter 15, where they started to say, well, you need to be circumcised before you can become a Christian, that kind of a thing. So there's some false doctrine coming in. But one of the things that you notice with Paul in this letter is that he's going to say, the answer is Jesus. The answer is the gospel that you've already received. Don't neglect those things. If anything, he says, become full in Christ. Be full of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And these doctrines, these other things that are happening, just let them go to the side, because Jesus is the answer. There's no other gospel that's going to come that's going to change your life for the better. And really, when you think about it, how often are we inundated with other doctrines or other thoughts within this world? I mean, you could go to the media, you can go to a number of different places, but we also have maybe some friends, even on Facebook and online, that we might read some of the things that they're posting, and maybe there's a little bit of false doctrine that's being taught or coming through in some of those things. And so we're inundated with it, whether we really recognize it all the time or not. It's happening even today, where things are being taught, and we need to be aware of that. But what Paul does, starting off, and we'll just go through the first 8 verses tonight. But what Paul does starting off is he's writing to people that he's really just heard about them. He's heard of things about them. And so let's notice what he does in verses 1 through 8. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you just as in all the world. Also, it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you, also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf. And he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. And so you notice that Epaphras is the one that has given Paul the information. And this is where he's heard a number of these things from. But notice how he starts off. He reminds them of who they are. He says in verse 2, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. we have to remember who we are. I was reading a story about a soldier that had just started out, and his soldiers do. They're in different countries. They're all over the world, and sometimes as they're going out with their brothers in arms on a little day of leave, they can find themselves in trouble. They can find themselves in temptation, in situations where they didn't necessarily always plan to be. And this particular soldier was able to resist the temptations that kept coming, even though he was with his fellow brothers in arms. And one of them said, How are you able to resist these things? And he said, well, before I left home, my mom said, remember who you are. And that stuck with him all the way. He remembered who he was. And here's Paul reminding these Christians in Colossae that you are the saints. You have been sanctified by the blood of Christ. You are his children. You are holy. You are set apart for him. Don't forget who you are. And then he also goes on to say that they are faithful brethren in Christ. It's a wonderful thing, the church, that we are brethren, that we are brothers. I can go anywhere in this country for the most part, and I can find a congregation of brothers, of people who are like-minded, who are striving and trying to follow after God's will. They're striving to do what the gospel says to do. They're living that. And this is an encouragement from Paul to these individuals and to us today to remember that the church is special. We are God's people. We are brothers. We have a family within Christ that nobody else has. If you're not in Christ, if you are not a Christian, you don't have the brothers and sisters that we do. And that's that's just the truth of it. We have a connection. We have a family that we don't have anywhere else because we are in Christ Jesus. And so Paul says, remember who you are. But he also noted some things that he had heard about them. In verse 3, he says, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying for you always. He says, since we heard of your faith in Christ. He had heard about their faith. Well, he had heard about it from Epaphras. He might have heard some things from Philemon or from some other Christians that had been attending there. But he heard about their faith and how they were striving to do God's work. How is he going to hear about their faith? They had to be doing something, right? It wasn't just the fact that, well, they believed that Jesus lived at some point and died on a cross, and that was their faith. No, their faith was working. It was active. If you remember James in James chapter 2, he said, you just show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. He was showing his faith by the things he was doing for his brethren and even for those outside of the church. But here, their faith is being seen, and it's being reported to Paul how these people are faithful. And so he's building them up. He says, I've heard of your faith. Notice also in verse 4, it says, and the love which you have for all the saints. Now, I don't know with the Colossians, but I know with the churches in Macedonia, Paul had a great connection with them. And they, like the Philippians, they supported him financially a number of different times. They also helped the poor saints in Jerusalem time and time again. And you can read about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. And how giving they were. Well, here are the Christians in Colossae, and what does he hear about them? The love which they have for all the saints. That they are showing and they are doing something that shows that love that they have for the saints, for God's people. And that's a beautiful thing. When you look around at the churches across our nation, around the world, I always love it when we have a missionary come in and they give a report and they say what's been going on, but they usually start off by saying what? The Christians in greet you. And they wanted for me to express their love for you. And that's such a wonderful thing to hear, because we may not ever meet them unless we go on a mission trip to that country or wherever they are. And so it's wonderful to hear that you have brothers and sisters in other places, but they're also praying for you, and that we're praying for them and the works that they're working in. And so it's a beautiful thing, and he recognizes the love that they have for God's people, for the saints. And then also notice in verse 5, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel. It's interesting that Paul mentions faith, love, and hope. He mentions those a few other times in his letters. One that pops out is obviously 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Towards the end of that chapter, he said, faith, hope, and love abide these three, and the greatest of these is love. But here he recognizes the fact that they are a hopeful people, that they understand that they have a hope laid up for them in heaven. We should understand that. We should know and look forward to heaven. I think sometimes the problems that we have in this life, yeah, there's the physical temptations, there's those things happening, but I think a lot of that can stem from the fact that we're not holding on to that hope that we have as Christians. We're giving in to temptations because we're forgetting that we have a heaven, we have a home that's waiting for us, that we should be longing for. We should be expectantly desiring it. And for whatever reason, we're getting short-sighted, and we're looking at the things right in front of us instead of what lies ahead and what we should be truly longing for. And these Christians knew of that hope because they heard it from the word of truth, the gospel. I want to share something with you that was part of the reason I'm giving this lesson is because of this. But when I saw the posting for the position here at Lake Norman, I believe I first found it on a Facebook page that somebody had shared. It's called Preachers for Pulpits, and there's preachers and different people that share job postings around or churches looking or preachers looking. They share that on this Facebook group, and when I saw it, immediately there was a preacher. I don't know who he is. I don't know where he's from. But one of the first things he said was, this is a great and loving church. Anyone would be lucky or blessed to go there. And I thought, that was a pretty high, you know, he put his name on it. You know, he stamped it. He said, I know this congregation. And so, I don't remember who it is. You probably know him, or some of you might know him. But that was one of those things that just made me think, all right, I really need to check this out. I really need to look into this congregation because of what I was hearing. And here's Paul saying, I've heard of your faith, your love, and the hope that you have. Well, I was over in Colorado saying, I'm hearing some wonderful things about this congregation. And I heard more things because there's some people in Colorado that know this congregation and know some of the people that attend here. And I heard some wonderful things. And that was just more of an encouragement to come here and to seek this out. And of course, it was a two-way street. We both had to meet up together and figure things out. But part of the reason I was so interested was because of all the wonderful things I was hearing about you, about your love, about your hope, about your faith, and about the things that you're doing. And then Paul starts to emphasize here something that they needed to remember. Not just who they were and the great things they were doing and a part of, but how they got there, how they had such a great faith, how they had such a love for the saints and for the brothers and sisters in Christ, how they had this hope. He says it's because of the word of truth. It's because of the gospel. And he says in verse 6, which has come to you just as in all the world. Also, it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. And he talks about Epaphras teaching them the truth. If you skip down to verse 23, it says, if indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. Paul is emphasizing the gospel a number of times in this book to the Colossians. And the reason for that is because there's another gospel that's starting to come in and being taught. And he says, this is the gospel you were taught. This is the gospel Epaphras, there in verse 7, our beloved fellow bondservant, taught you and shared with you. This is the same gospel that I preached all over the world, that has been preached all over the world. And it's fruitful. It's working. It's bearing that fruit that God desires it to do. There's a passage in Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. And verse 11, and it's a wonderful statement by God about his word and how we should expect his word to work today. Isaiah 55 and verse 11. So will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. It's the word that builds up our faith, that builds up our love for the saints, that builds up our hope, that we're looking forward to the inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus. And we need to remember that it's going to do what God designed it to do. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the Hebrew writer talks about the fact that his word is living and active. Right? The word is working. We shouldn't shy away from it. We shouldn't think it doesn't have anything for me anymore. I know people who have memorized Scripture, have memorized the New Testament, or have memorized the entire book, the entire Old Testament and New, and yet it hasn't done anything for them because they didn't let it work. They memorized it for other purposes. They read through it to try to disprove it. We need to understand that if we will allow it to work, if we will give it the opportunity to work, God's designed it to bear fruit. And that's what Paul is reminding these Christians in Colossians as well, is if you just stay with the gospel that was proclaimed to you, you will continue to grow in faith, hope, and love. You will continue to bear fruit. And that's a lesson for us today, is if we will simply continue in the gospel. We need to continue to study. We need to continue to preach. We need to continue to share it with others. And as long as we keep putting it out there, it will keep working. There's a reason why 2,000 years later, there's Christians, right? Because his word is still here. And as long as it's still here, as long as people are willing to read it, to open up their hearts to it, then Christians will blossom and they will grow and they will continue to go on and bear fruit. We need to count our blessings. The Colossians here are going through a time where struggles are ahead, and Paul's trying to strengthen them and encourage them in that. They need to understand the blessings that they do have. Right now is what Paul is showing them. You have a faith that I've heard about. You have a love for the saints that is great. You have a hope that you shouldn't neglect. And it's all stemmed from the word of truth, from that gospel. Hold on to those blessings. Don't throw them away. We need to remember who we are. We need to remember the power of the gospel. And when we think that maybe we've made it, or there's nothing else I can learn, think again. Paul says, keep going back to the word of truth. How did you get to where your faith is at now? It was because of the word of truth. Well, stay with it, and you will continue to grow, and you'll continue to climb that ladder. And you can be a man of great faith. I think about those men and women in Hebrews chapter 11 that are mentioned, and the faith that they had to do the things that they did following God. It didn't come easy. But what did they do? They believed in his word and they followed it. And we need to do the same today. It's a privilege, it's an honor, and it's a blessing to be a Christian, to be in Christ Jesus. Let's not ever forget that. Tonight, if you want to become a Christian, if you want to put on your Lord and Savior in baptism, that opportunity is here for you. But also, if you are not quite there yet, but you're wanting to read the Word, you want to hear more about the gospel, about Jesus, those opportunities are here as well. Please come forward while we stand and while we sing.